What do you do when you face the uncertainty of life? Maybe you're like this guy. You dig a hole, put your head in the sand, pretend that if you ignore it long enough, maybe it'll just go away. Or maybe you search for an escape, something to take your mind off it, like this cute little puppy. Everything around him is on fire, but the small joy of a hot drink is comforting. As Christians, what are we to do when we are faced with the uncertainty of life? Well, the easy answer, the cliche answer even, is trust God. It's the right answer. But how can you trust God when life is uncertain? When everything seems crazy and out of control, when we feel like hiding and escaping? Well, Psalm 46 gives us two solid reasons that we can trust God when life is uncertain. And so Psalm 46, if you don't have your Bibles open there, I encourage you to open your Bibles to Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, we see that God is a present help, that he is a safe dwelling. And there's two reasons there why we can trust God. And then we also see two commands to help us to respond and trust God. So Psalm 46 first tells us that we can trust God because he is a present help. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. See what it's saying? It's saying that we can trust God. He's an ever-present help, a very present help. God is there. He's ready to help. Now, distance often makes it hard to help someone, doesn't it? You know, we live in Kununurra, and when a family member who doesn't live in Kununurra goes through hard times, it's hard to be a present help. And that can be frustrating. The willingness is there, but you're unable. But God is not like that. God is saying that here that he is there. He is present. Like if you were to jump on a plane to go and be with that family member, that is what God is saying he is like to those who trust in him. One commentator said it, when people seek help from God, they find it and in magnificent measure. Because he is a present help. And we need this present help because we live in chaos, in uncertainty, situations that are beyond our control. Have a look at verses 2 and 3. It says, therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. It's chaotic. Mountains falling, oceans roaring, mountains being overtaken by the sea, it's cosmic chaos. We see that in our world. We see chaos. We see wars taking place, nations falling and rising, global disruptors, uncertainty. And this uncertainty can create in us fear. I got an email this week telling me that my personal details had been hacked by an organization. And that email, I think it creates fear. Right? How might those details be used for some sneaky, nefarious purpose? Who is going to try and impersonate me and steal my money? Creates fear. But the psalm says we don't need to fear because God is our present help. And so when you fear, when you are uncertain, when life is chaotic, do you turn to God, our ever-present help? Do you look to him in prayer? Do you cry out to him? Do you know that God is there, ready and able to help? He will lend us his strength. He will lend us his power. We can turn to him. When the world bears down on you, trust God, our ever-present help. Now, what does that actually look like? How do we do that? Well, if we turn to the New Testament in Philippians chapter 4, which will come up on the screen. Yep, there it is. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do we trust in the Lord and know his present help? Well, we rejoice and we pray. We can rejoice because God is near and we know he's near in his son, Jesus Christ. He's with us by his Spirit if we trust in him. We can rejoice because we know our eternal salvation is secure in him, and no chaos, no mountain falling, no earthly tragedy can take that away. Our salvation is as sure as Jesus rising from the dead. So rejoice. But also pray. Pray about what's troubling you. Pray about the chaos. Pray about what's causing you to be anxious. You don't have to talk to God in a well-written psalm. You can just say, God, I'm struggling here. Help me. God, here is my situation. Please give me strength. Be my present help. And what is the help that God provides? Well, he's with us. But he also says we will receive peace in the chaos, a peace that transcends understanding. And it transcends understanding because how can anyone have peace in chaos? But we can. It says God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God will remind us that he is trustworthy, that in Jesus we are secure with him forever. He will give us the perspective that we need to be able to live in the uncertainty. So trust in God, trust in Jesus, because he is a present help. So that's the first reason we can trust in God from Psalm 46. The second reason we can trust in God from Psalm 46 is that God is a safe dwelling. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. The imagery shifts from the chaos, the cosmic chaos, to a city of peace, where a river flows, a river that brings life and joy to the city of God. And this is the heavenly city. And in this city, the Most High dwells. It's a picture of the exalted God dwelling with his people. And we see this in verse 5. It says, God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. I recently watched the new Superman movie, and there is this scene where Mr. Magnificent puts a shield around Lois Lane while about 40 bad guys in robot suits attack. But you won't be surprised at this, I don't think. Lois is safe, unharmed, because of the shield, which did not fail. Well, God dwelling in the city, God is the shield, and he will not let the city fall. And even though from a worldly perspective there is chaos, there is resistance to God's city. In verse 6, the nations are in uproar, but God's city will not fail. It will not fall. God's people will be safe. And a bit like Mr. Magnificent, who magnificently defeated the bad guys, God will defeat the enemies. The second part of verse 6, it says, God lifts his voice and the earth melts. God's voice, God's word will cause those who stand against him to melt. Though they roar, they will be brought to nothing, because nothing can stand against God and his people in his holy heavenly city. Because God is there, God cannot be defeated, not ever. And so we come to verse 7, which says, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. It says God is called here the Lord Almighty, but it also could be translated as the Lord of invincible armies. The Lord of invincible armies is with us. That's comforting. He won't be beaten, but he's also called the God of Jacob. A reminder that God is a God who makes promises to dwell with his people and to care for them. God is a safe fortress. You might know the well-known hymn by Martin Luther, "A mighty fortress is our God." Well, that comes from this psalm. Now, what about this city today? Is God's city still a safe dwelling place? Is God still a safe place to come? And the answer is yes. You know, we saw in our gospel reading today that Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He came to dwell with us so that we could dwell with him for eternity in the heavenly city. A heavenly city that cannot be shaken, cannot be moved, cannot be overthrown or defeated. And Jesus, God with us, secured this kingdom for us on the cross through his death and resurrection. All the chaos in the world pales in significance when we consider the reality that without Jesus, we are at enmity with God. We're at odds with him. If you were at a party and God happened to be there, without Jesus, he would be the one person we'd be trying to do everything to avoid. And the reason why is because God is holy and we have turned away from him. But on the cross, we read in Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He triumphed over them. He destroyed all that stood opposed to God, including sin and death. And that means when we trust in Jesus, we're forgiven. We're brought back into relationship with God. It's like we can go to that party where God is there and he's the only person that we would want to seek out. And when we do place our trust in Jesus, Jesus guarantees us a spot in his unshakable heavenly city, a safe dwelling, a safe place. And that is the hope that Christians have, this heavenly city that we belong to. But we can also experience and get a bit of a taste of it now through the church. The church is not a building. The church is the people. And Jesus, by his Spirit, is in our midst. He is with us. And as Jesus put it, the gates of Hades will not prevail over God's church. The saints are safe and secure as we wait for the day that we will dwell with Jesus face to face. Now, that is not saying that the church does not have enemies, or that governments at times might force churches to close, forbid Christians from meeting, or persecute Christians. It doesn't mean that the church won't be disrespected by society or be treated as a joke. Even on the inside, the church, you know, there's division, there's hypocrisy. But Jesus' church, in spite of all these things, ultimately will prevail. It will never be stamped out. It will never be defeated. It will never be irrelevant. Why? Because we're talking about issues of eternity, issues of life after death, of the reality of being with God forever. And so as the gospel is preached, people will continue to respond to the gospel of Jesus and be added to his church, added to the city that will never fall, never fail. And so we can say today that through Jesus, the Lord of the invincible armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so we can trust in the Lord because he is our help. We can trust in the Lord because he is our safe dwelling. And then the psalmist gives us two commands. The first command is come and see in verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. We're invited to come and see that God is the one who will not be beaten or destroyed, that if you're coming up against God, you won't win. God will shatter the missiles, the tanks, the drones, the cyber espionage, the fighter planes that are aimed at him. Rebellion against God will be quashed. Why? Because Jesus has secured through the cross a kingdom that will not be shaken. And so we hear this command, come and see, and we are to look to God's greatest victory, the victory of Jesus on the cross. We're to keep looking back to that victory, to never forget it. We're to read of it in the Bible. We're to talk about it. We are to rejoice in it. And if we find ourselves rebelling against God, if we find ourselves aiming our missiles against God, we need to listen to this command and come and see. Come and be reminded of what God has done, that Jesus died and has risen victorious. And so if you've forgotten this, if you hear the message of the cross and it doesn't bring to your heart thankfulness, praise, rejoicing, if you hear it and you can feel in yourself a little bit of apathy, a little bit of so what, well, hear this command, come and see. Come and behold God's goodness to us in Jesus Christ. Because God will judge. He will disarm us if we are opposed to him. Do not be fooled. We will not prevail. The God of invincible armies will have his victory. And this brings us to the second command in verse 10. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, this is not a command to go and silently meditate, but it's actually a command for God's enemies to stop, to be still, to recognize that God is God and that there is no other, to stop rebelling against him. It's also a command for us to stop and be still, to recognize that God is in control, not us. To stop and remember that God is God and that we are not. Now, we're not very good at being still today, are we? The smartphones, Facebook feeds, constant notifications, messages, busyness with work, busyness with family. We're busy, busy, busy. We're not living in a time known for being still. And yet, we're called here to be still. But not just for the sake of it. This verse doesn't say, be still and go and take in that beautiful sunset. It doesn't say, be still and just ignore everything else that is happening around you and drink a cup of coffee. It doesn't say, be still and go and appreciate your me time. No, it says, be still and know that I am God. And we need this today. We need to stop and remember that God is God. To trust him because he is our help in Christ, our safe dwelling for all eternity. We need to be still and know that he is God. This week, I was lying awake one night with 1,000 things on my mind. There's been a lot happening this week. And after about an hour of just having so many thoughts go through my head, God brought to my mind actually what I was preaching on this week, which was this verse, be still and know that I am God. And actually, it was just really helpful in that moment to remember that God is in control of the uncertainty. God is in control of all that is going on in life. And so I stopped and I prayed and I acknowledged that God is God and that he is with me. He is my help. In that moment, I was still and remembered that God is God. Be still and know that God is God. Now, there are a number of ways that we can do this. And it's not just when we're feeling anxious and are awake in the middle of the night. But actually, it's something that we should build into our regular pattern of life. To be still. To recognize that God is God. One way that would be familiar to many would be to carve out some time in your day to read God's word and to pray. And remember that God is God and that we are not. Reading through some of God's word each day, whether it be first thing in the morning or maybe over dinner or at lunchtime or in the evening before bed, be still and know that God is God. You can use that time of reading as well to also pray to the God who is with us, whom we can turn to for help. And if you don't know where to start with this, I recommend starting with the gospel. Starting with the Gospel of Luke, we have some free copies of the Gospel of Luke on the table back there. And just read a little bit each day. You could, as you read, you could ask some very simple questions to help you think about it. What do I learn about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? What do I learn about humanity? How should I respond to what I've just read? If you're looking for something with a little bit more guidance, I recommend downloading a free app called Explore. And when you open the app, just click the Time with God button for a month's worth of free studies. And you can read the Bible. And then there's some comments and a little bit of a devotion to help you understand what you've read. And then spend some time in prayer. Be still and know that God is God. But another way that you can be still and know that God is God is actually by coming to church and meeting with other Christians. Being still does not have to be an individual activity. Because in the church, we encourage each other with God's word. We hear it read. We hear it preached. We sing of its contents. We talk about it with one another. And when we come to church, we remind each other that God is God. We get a taste of the safe dwelling of eternity as we meet together with each other. And why is it important that we know that God is God? Well, we see that in verse 10. God will be exalted in the nations and over the earth. Jesus will be exalted above all. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so the psalm finishes, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our help. our safe dwelling. So let's come and see and be still and know that God is God. That is how we can trust God in uncertainty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God, that you are the one who is sovereign and in control, that no enemy will stand against you. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, we have hope and the certainty of being with you in your holy city that will never fall, will never fail. So, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to trust you. Put it on our hearts and minds to come and see and remember all that you have done, that you will help us to be still and know that you are God and that we are not. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.